Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. There's surely no clearer example in the whole of the Bible of people receiving their daily bread than the one that we're just going to read in Exodus chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they'd come out of Egypt. You know the story. Let my people go, Moses said. Pharaoh said no. They eventually crossed the Red Sea. The waters came in over Pharaoh's army. So they're in the other side of the Red Sea, heading towards Sinai. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who had gathered much did not have too much, and the one who had gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. Lovely. So Moses was angry with them. "Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it didn't stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Did you notice some of the elements of that story? The bread came daily, except for the Sabbath. An exception was made on the day before the Sabbath when they could gather enough for the Sabbath as well. Other than that, if they tried to store the manna, it went bad. There weren't any preservatives and no freezers. It simply didn't last, except when God said it would last. It reminds me of when my parents used to own an apartment in Spain, and we used to go every day to buy fresh bread. Well, you could eat it the second day, but it really was quite grim. But there's nothing quite like that fresh bread without all the preservatives and things in it. We know that the children of Israel, instead of being thankful for their daily provision in the wilderness, not very long after, they soon started to grumble about the lack of variety in their diet. Oh no, not manna again. Not quail again. Isn't that like us? You know, actually, we're quick to grumble rather than just to appreciate the blessing that we have, that every day God provides food on our tables. Praying into the ideas of this line, give us our daily bread, means that actually it is to recognize that daily God is the source of everything that we have, not just bread, but everything that we have materially. It's just to tell him, thank you, God, because you are the provider. An American pastor called Tony Evans puts it like this: God is the source, everything else is a resource. I like that. God is the source, everything else is a resource that he gives us. It's everything, isn't it? It's not just our food, but our water, our shelter, our relationships, our peace. Now, we've looked together on a couple of Sundays previously at the opening lines of the Lord's Prayer. We've seen it as a bit like a country house, and here's the blueprint of the house. And we've seen the kind of prayers that we should be praying. Firstly, in coming to our Father, we come to our Father God. We call on his name for it to be hallowed. We're asking God to get the honor, the respect that he deserves. We're saying, Lord, might people worship you. Might your laws be obeyed. And then when we ask for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are simply saying we want to see God's plans for the world come to fruition over all the earth. We're praying for the advance of the gospel across the nations. And ultimately, we're praying for the return of Christ to come and to rule and to reign. We're also, on a personal level, asking for God to reign and to rule in our lives, to put aside self and ask for his will to be done. We're told we're to have these priorities in prayer. If we seek first the kingdom of God, we're told that he will provide everything we need materially as well. Our Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. So, returning to this analogy of the country house or palace, the coming to God our Father is like a throne room or reception room. It's where we come and we meet God and we honour him. And then we move into a secondary kind of reception room or drawing room or lounge where we're seeking God's kingdom will and purposes. And so all the other rooms kind of stem off from that. And you won't be surprised to hear this morning that we're moving into the kitchen. Give us our daily bread. Some of the major issues in our world today surround the whole area of food and fresh water. We've been going through quite a bit of water, haven't we, these last couple of weeks. But an example of where water is an issue is what's going on with the River Nile. And it has been for a number of years. Up at the top of the map is where the Nile flows into the Mediterranean, up in Egypt. But the source of the Nile comes from down here. I meant to have my pointer. Down here in Ethiopia, Kenya region. Uganda, Kenya region. And then another source up there in Ethiopia. So that's where the river kind of starts out. Anyone who has been in Egypt knows just how vital the Nile is to irrigation, to causing things to grow, to life itself around the Nile Delta. And that was just the same in biblical times, wasn't it, when Joseph and his family had to move down to Egypt to get food when they were in a time of drought. So very, very important for Egypt. But one of its sources is in Ethiopia. And if you know anything about Ethiopia, you will know it's a country that often faces huge issues around water, around crop failure, and the subsequent famine that results. And as it stands, Ethiopia is not allowed to divert the Nile for its own use. But as you can imagine, there's huge pressure on to do just that. Why do we let it run all off down to Egypt when actually, you know, we're struggling for water ourselves? It's coming to the point often where there's not enough water to go round. And it's actually reckoned by experts that if we have many wars in the future, that a lot of them will be fought over water supplies. It's just an example, isn't it, for us, of how, you know, we just take food and water for granted. We turn on the tap. I saw a picture this morning someone had put on Facebook. And it was a little boy, and he was obviously in Africa somewhere where there wasn't much water. And he was speaking to a white woman, and he was saying, "So let me get this right. You have several taps in your house where you have unlimited water supply, yeah?" He said. He said, "And then you tell me that you go to a store and you buy bottled water. And then you create a problem with all the plastics that the bottle..." He has a point, doesn't he? Has a point. You know, we just have it so easy. It doesn't really seem to present much of an issue to us, does it? Give us our daily bread. Give us our water. We just go along to our supermarket of choice and can purchase an amazing variety of bread and amazing variety of other food stuff. And we get rather annoyed when the fridges in Tesco's break down, as they did this week. And we get there, I can't have it this week. We can't buy what we were looking for. But we still have plenty to eat. Of course, for many in our world, things are much more pressing. They simply don't know where their next meal is coming from or where they're going to find clean water. So the daily provision of our material sources should not be taken for granted. So in praying this prayer, give us our daily bread, we are asking actually the Lord to give us a portion of material things that we need for that day. There needs to be a daily dependence, a daily recognition, even when it seems so easy. We read elsewhere, his mercies are new every morning. We have that, don't we, every day, just like the manna in the wilderness. And I think that this line of the prayer encourages us to be moderate in presenting our desires and requests. What do I actually need for this day? Let's face it, if we didn't have food to eat, the search for food would become the all-consuming thing of the day, wouldn't it? That would take over everything. So the fact that God has provided should set us free to serve him in other ways, to live our lives wholeheartedly for him. Here's a question. Do you give thanks before meals? It seems to me that this is going out of fashion. And regularly people sit and they eat and probably doesn't even seem to cross the consciousness. But actually, can I encourage you to do that? Because that is at least one day, one way of saying, isn't it? Lord, thank you that you gave me this today. And I'm not just taking it for granted, but I really appreciate that it comes from you, that you're the source. So something to think about if we've got out of the habit of so doing, to take just that moment to thank God for his prayer. Now, if you take children to a castle or a country house, what room are they most interested in? That's my question. Which room in the country house are they most interested in? The kitchen? What are they going to get from the kitchen? Well, probably not, because there's probably nobody actually baking anything in there. The tea room, or next, the gift shop. That's it, isn't it? You spent a fortune, haven't you, taking them to the country house and for your day out. It's already cost you an arm and a leg, but the room that they really want to get to is the gift shop. Because effectively, going to the gift shop, they're saying, what can I have for me? Whether it's toys or sweets, what's in this trip for me? What am I going to take home from it? And that's just instinctively, not just children, but it's our selfish nature, isn't it? That says, what's in it for me? And that's the point, I think, of having the first part of the Lord's Prayer being God-centered rather than self-centered, seeking God's glory, his will, is to try and take the focus on off the me, me, me. What am I going to get? Does God care for our daily needs? We know he does. In so many stories in the Bible, God demonstrates that care of people. Elijah, fed by ravens. Manna in the wilderness. The widow's oil that never ran out. The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus up preparing breakfast for his disciples. The risen Jesus preparing breakfast for his disciples. These are just a few examples of God meeting that daily need. In the words of the harvest hymn, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Thank the Lord for all his love. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So what of our part in all this? God is the provider. Well, we're actually encouraged, aren't we, to do our part, to put bread on the table. We talk of an earner in a household being the breadwinner. God doesn't expect us to sit back, to just be lazy and expect everything to fall into our laps. The normal way to earn our corn, so to speak, is by sweat and hard work. When Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, God made a number of proclamations, and he said this to Adam. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat your food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. So, yes, God provides, but he does expect us to get stuck in. If we think of a farmer, God ultimately causes his crop to grow, but he still has to do the ploughing and the sowing and the reaping. Only God can make it grow. Someone once said, we need to pray knowing that the outcome depends entirely on God, but we need to work as if the outcome depends on us. Recognizing that God ultimately provides, but working hard to put bread on the table. And as God provides, so we in turn need to take care of those around us who are struggling for these essentials. It's not give me my daily bread, it's give us our daily bread. This is where like the food box for Find comes in, where we can give out of the abundance that we have to help someone else. When we were at Bible college, there was a food box. So if we didn't live on a lot, if you didn't have very much, you could take something out of the food box. And if you had a bit more that week, you could put something into the food box for somebody else. And so we shared, and God met people's needs in that way. We cannot be selfish, forgetting the needs of others. Jesus taught the parable of the Good Samaritan, and that the Good Samaritan had the means, didn't he, to help out the man that had been beaten up by the robbers. We need to pray for the government as they make decisions that affect people who are living, as we say, on the breadline. That we will have a just and a caring society. And then finally, this morning, we also need our spiritual food. Some of you may use this set of notes called Our Daily Bread. It's a set of Bible reading. You just have a little bit of a reading each day and it gives you a few thoughts. And I would encourage you to that, whether you use this particular set of notes or a different set of notes, to have that time of feeding from God, not just to think about your stomachs, which we're all very good at doing, and we're probably thinking of lunch already, but actually to be thinking, what about being fed by God's word on a daily basis? Can I encourage you to that? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need that physical food. We need that spiritual food. Lord, give us our daily bread. And just a couple more verses as we close this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Because here I think we come back to man's greatest problem. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Man's greatest problem is his desire to be independent from his creator, to state that independence, to live without recognition of God, to think that he is achieving everything on his own. He forgets that God is the source and that everything else is a resource. And actually, this is the heart of salvation, isn't it? Is to recognize that we're sinners before a holy God, that we're totally dependent on him for everything, to ask him to deal with our sin and to come and to reign and to rule in our lives and to look to him on a daily basis to provide and to recognize that all that we have is from him. Is that where we're at? Or are we trying to do it in our own strength, like the man here? My hands have produced this wealth. Look what I have achieved. If we have anything, it is all from God. Give us our daily bread. Amen.